facing the sorrows and disappointments. That's our topic of discussion. It is evident that sorrow, disappointment, pain is common in all of our lives. Does not need any elaboration to understand this, because our own experience shows that it is evident in our life. Many people, when they face with what they feel as great misfortune or a disaster, feel helplessness. A certain kind of pessimism arises, despair. These are the emotions which rise. There is this case in Shakespeare's, one of the greatest tragedies, Macbeth, where Macbeth has committed a lot of crimes. He thinks he can rule Scotland forever. Then he finds that his wife has become insane. She commits suicide, and then there is an army marching against him. Defeat is imminent. So in the midst of that sad situation, Shakespeare writes this poem through the words of Macbeth, which many people feel how the life is. Many people have, this is what life is. And full of despair and pessimism, he says, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Kind of despair, pessimism, which the sorrow leads some of us into, is beautifully expressed here. But if we examine our mind and go back and look at our past experiences, we find that two things arise when we face something which is unpleasant. One is, of course, predominantly the negative emotion of whether anger towards the person who is causing us sorrow, or jealousy because we don't have something which the other person has, or there is disappointment, retaliation, blaming of somebody else. This is one set of emotions, the negative emotions. Within it, you also find 9 out of 10 times a certain kind of questioning which arises, a certain kind of query, which asks questions like, why did this happen to me? And what did I do to deserve such a thing, or not deserve a better position in life? Could I have done something to avoid this? And usually we feel that we are being unjustly placed in this position of unpleasantness. Nevertheless, the more there is questioning and the less there is of the negative emotion, the better it is for us. The more there is negative and the less of questioning, then so much more sorrow there is for us. The basic assumption which most of us have in life is that anything that happens to us is random, happens by chance, and happens without any reason, any meaning. At least I was not responsible for this. Somebody else is responsible for it. Whether that somebody else is another person who we think is causing us harm, or a god who is sitting out there, or the combination of planets, certain astrological influence which caused us this problem, or the devil, and so on and so forth. Basically, we point fingers rather than trying to see what is the true cause of sorrow and disappointment. But what the teachers of wisdom say is that every moment of your life, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is meaningful. Any kind of event that happens to you has happened because of prior causes which have been set in motion by yourself, and the event is the outcome of your own thoughts and actions. As Buddha says, all that we are is a result of what we have thought. Nobody else to be blamed. And look at this, if sorrow were to be permanent life, then it's an unbearable, life is unbearable. But that is not the case. Sorrow is not permanent. Disappointments is not permanent. And if the causes of what causes sorrow were not to be known for us, then the life is a riddle, hopelessness. And if we know the causes but didn't know how to remove those causes so that happiness results, then also life would be very difficult to live. And if we did not know somebody who would teach us or show us what is the cause of sorrow, how to remove it, then also it would have been difficult for us. But sorrow is not permanent, neither are we ignorant of the causes of sorrow, nor do we not have the ability to remove its causes, and we know others who have removed the causes of sorrow and found permanent happiness. Those are the Buddhas or the sages, the rishis. Does not Buddha say this? He says, if you were to be constantly in this stream of existence, in the sense, always birth, death, and in it predominantly dukkha, as he says, and if there were no way for us to break free from this chain of misery, then the whole life is a curse. But that is not the case, says Buddha. That is not the case. He says, you are not bound. The soul of things is sweet. There is sweetness in them. There is optimism. The heart of being is celestial rest. It can be obtained by man. Stronger than woe is will. More than our sorrow and disappointments, there is something always in us which has the capacity, the capability to overcome that sorrow. I, Buddha, who wept with all my brother's tears, whose heart was broken by the whole world's woe, laugh and am glad, for there is liberty, he says. Look at the full of optimism. So let us consider any event which we think has caused us disappointment. Retrospectively, if you look at it, you desired something, you wanted something, a position or a certain event which you thought would bring you happiness, and you didn't get it, therefore it was a disappointment. But ask yourself the question, do you really know what is good for you? Do you really know what is actually good for you? There is often in our life we confuse what is good for what is bad. And we think what is bad is good for us. In yoga aphorism, this is what is said as ignorance. Confusion between what is good for us and what is bad for us. One of the aspects of ignorance. So we foolishly want something and nature is kind that it doesn't allow us to get exactly what we want. There is this story of a fly which was hungry, a hungry fly. And it saw a beehive. And it is just such a sweet nectar must be there in this beehive. And it speaks out loud, if anybody were to take me and put me inside that beehive, and I would be able to you know, enjoy that honey there, I would give him or her a grain of barley, which is, a grain of barley is pretty big for a fly. And a passerby hears this petition, feels sorry for this fly, takes it and puts it in the beehive. Now the fly is in the beehive, it tries to drink the nectar, the honey, sweet honey, but it finds that it cannot move its leg, it cannot move its wings, because it sticks. Then the fly realizes, no, no, this honey is actually poison for me, I shouldn't have come here. I would have given one barley for a person to put me into the beehive, I would give two barley for a person to take me out of it. So we should really think, and retrospectively if you look at it, you will find that many times whatever we haven't got in life has actually turned out to be good for us, has turned out to be beneficial for us. We just have to be honest with ourselves and look at past experiences. And what we thought would have given us so much pleasure and happiness, standing here now at this position, we find that if at all I had gotten that, I wouldn't have gotten something better. Or if at all I had got that, then my life would have been something different, which I wouldn't have liked now. Thank God that it didn't happen. That thought arises, definitely. So, this attitude of acceptance, attitude of accepting what happens in life, is something which is very important. And this comes from realizing that all the events of life are meaningful. Nothing which is accidental. We all know the story of that wise minister for that foolish king. A wise minister who always found significance and meaning in whatever happened, whatever event of life, whatever others felt as disastrous, a misfortune, this wise minister always saw something good in it. So it once so happened that the king cut his finger, and then the minister comes to know about it, and he says, did the king cut his finger? Bahut khub, he says, bahut khub, very good, very good. The king is angry. He says, fool, you think you are playing around with me? Now chain him and put him into the dungeon. So they put him in the dungeon, and then the king goes on hunting, and he goes and all his guards are left behind due to some reason, and he goes in the hunting a tiger, but he falls as a captive to the tribals there, the cannibals. So the minister here in the dungeon hears that news and says, Bahut khub again. So again the guards are thinking, what is this fool talking? The king is going to die now. He says, Bahut khub, what is this? But it so happens before they behead this king, they check him whether he is perfectly intact for the sacrifice, and they find that the finger is cut. So they say, no, we cannot kill this person, he is not fit for our sacrifice, and they release him. And then the king comes and says, no, release that minister, what he said was right, every event has a meaning in life. And brings the minister, apologizes for him and all that, and he says, see, all these events happened, now I'm thankful that I came out alive. And I apologize to you that I put you in the dungeon, in the jail. The minister says, no, you put me in the jail, that is also bahut khub, it is good you did that. The king asks him, why do you say this? He says, if I were not to be in jail, I would have accompanied you. Then I would have been with you in the same horse probably. Then the cannibals wouldn't have sacrificed you, they would have sacrificed me. Bahut khub that I was in the jail. So So just a story which brings to our mind that not everything that we desire is good for us, and whatever comes to us, there is actually hidden good in it. And if we have the eyes to see what is good in it, we actually recognize it and feel grateful for it. That is why we find the Roman Stoic philosophers grounded in this truth, that equanimity. Doesn't matter what comes, be equal minded. And be wary of all the allurements of the world that you run after. All the temptations in the world that you see, there is actually a trap that is hidden. The Sufis say that. And this is the warning that we find in all the scriptures also. There is a trap that is there. The Sufis, you know what they say? One of the Sufis says, beware of this world with all its weariness, for it is like to a snake, smooth to the touch, but its venom is deadly. Turn away from whatever delights thee in it. Put off from thee its cares. The more it pleases thee, do thou be wary of it. For its hopes are lies, its expectations are false. So everything that we desire is not good, and there are a lot of allurements, and if we don't get something, we should actually be happy for it. That is one thing. But the painful experiences that we find in life is actually a great tool, a great, what shall we say, great benefactor for us. If, for example, in Gandhiji's life, if he hadn't experienced firsthand the humiliation of apartheid in South Africa and the various attempts on his life by the white people to kill him, all the insults that he faced, probably he wouldn't have understood firsthand and the compassion in him to bring about a movement which destroyed apartheid wouldn't have happened. That is one example. In the life of Buddha also, Lord Buddha also, we find this. He is a prince enjoying all the pleasures of life, but that didn't help him. It is only when he went into the city and found out what life is for the common person with all its pain, suffering and sorrow, that it awakened him to seek what is the cause for all this. And then look at the benefit that the world had because of that. I personally know one example of a family, very well to do and very lively daughter. They had a very lively daughter who was full of compassion towards the poor people and the deprived ones, and dedicated her life towards protection of the environment and such causes. And at the age of 26, she died in a car accident. What must be the impact that the parents had, the only child that they had? But on the other hand, look at what transformation it brought in the life of these parents, that they dedicated their life, especially the child's mother, dedicated her life to setting up an institute, an organization, which even today works for the welfare of the women, the deprived, and their livelihood issues, their health, their security, so on. Hundreds and hundreds of women are benefited. One sorrow incident in their life, look at the change that brought about and the benefit that brought about for many. So pain actually teaches us, it's a great teacher. We may think, this is one thing, so we may think that the fault in character or whatever the other person is doing to us, the harm that the other person is doing to us, is what is causing us pain. You know, somebody is scheming against us, or his anger or his behavior is such that it is causing us harm and sorrow. But that itself is a mirror that the life is holding to our face for us to check whether the same mistakes that the other person is doing, which we so clearly see in him, is it not present in our own heart, in our own character? And if that is the case, and surely that is the case, is it not our duty to remove those faults, those strains of character that we have? Is it not our duty to make ourselves better when we see somebody who, due to his bad behavior, is causing us trouble? That is a mirror that the life is holding. Jalaluddin Rumi speaks of this very clearly. He says this: if you perceive a fault in your brother, the fault you perceive in him is within yourself. Definitely true. The fault that we perceive in others, the traces of it in the same form or in a more different way, is in our heart also. So the pain that is causing me should actually awaken me to see whether I don't have the same tendencies in me. Do I not have the same mistakes and faults of character in me? And if I do have, shouldn't I be removing it? He says further, the learned man is like a mirror in which you see your own image. For the believer is the mirror of his fellow believer, he says. So we are all mirrors for each other. The faults that we see in others, in the society at large, my faults. The sin and shame of the world is my sin and shame. So he says further, get rid of that fault in you, for what distresses you in him distresses you in yourself. All evil qualities, oppression, hatred, envy, greed, mercilessness, pride, when they are within yourself, do not pain you. When you perceive them in another, then you shy away and are pained. So these faults are happily in us. But only when we see it in others and that causes us pain, then we perceive what a bad thing it is, and that should be a trigger for us to change ourselves. So Marcus Aurelius makes a very, very humorous observation. He says, it is ridiculous when I look at people. It is ridiculous. Because we never try to overcome the fault of ourselves, and that is the only thing possible, while we always try to escape from the faults of others, which is impossible. Because we live in a society, all kinds of characters are there, we always try to avoid and escape from the faults of others, which we cannot change. Whereas all the time we have the fault in us and we have the power to change it, which we don't do it. He speaks of this paradox. And second thing to remember, and something which is the secret of strength of all philosophers and those who have understood the truth of this, the secret is the secret of calmness, the secret of having equal-mindedness. The secret is based on this idea that in every circumstance there is always something in us which can stand aside and evaluate what is happening, which can stand aside deep within us and witness what is happening without getting involved in it. So the self in the Veda philosophy was called Sakshi, because he is a witness. He is not the experience itself. He is an experiencer. And this we can see when we go through all the small and the big events of life, our daily life, in our daily life. This is an experiment that we can do, that whenever an event happens, let's say it's a painful one, then remember this and recollect, are you that experience? Or are you the experiencer? Are you the feeling itself which is arising in you? The feeling of anger or the feeling of sorrow, sadness? Or are you the one who is feeling it and superimposing yourself into that feeling and thinking that I am feeling this, I am this? We always find that there is something in us which stands apart. There is a witness in us. So, just remembering this while going through the various changes is a great support. And look back and see how many experiences you have gone through in your lifespan of 30, 40, 50, 60 years. So many experiences. Have any of them been permanent? Has any event prolonged forever? Had a beginning but never had an end? Every event you anticipated, oh, if something like that happens, then it is going to be very painful for me. Most of the times it does happen. It has a beginning. Then you experience it for a while. Then you come out of it. It has an end. Similarly, all the experiences in the future also. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. But we the experiencer, if you look at it, our self has not changed. Our ideas have changed, our response has changed. But there's something in us which is changeless. This is the basis of calmness. That there is that in us, that self in us, which is changeless, unchanging, and unaffected by the greatest sorrow, which is why Shiva is shown in the symbolism as sitting in the Himalayas. The waves of samsara of in the Bay of Bengal does not reach Himalayas. Similarly, there is that self in us which is untouched and unaffected by the all the innumerable changes that happens. So that's a great source of inner strength if you understand this. Finally, we find that every event is an opportunity for us in two ways. Opportunity for what? That is the question. Whether it's a good event or what we think is a bad event, fortune or misfortune, it's an opportunity in two ways. One is it develops character in us. Only painful and troublesome experiences have something in it which develops character in us. You see, not luxury and comfort will only develop fat in us, not the muscles. It's only the troubles and tribulations which we face which will develop a certain kind of strength, character, and firmness of mind. So it has a great purpose in life, pain and troublesome experience basically. And as in the golden verses of Pythagoras, he says that the downward course for a man is of four steps. A man's downward course is four steps. First is belly, next is sloth, third is luxury, fourth is rage. If you see, it is only the troublesome experiences and our positive response to it which shields us from all these four. The comfort, luxury, and we will drown in it. Which is why the Sufis say that were it not for pain, what else would awaken you from this tomb of body. Otherwise you will be completely immersed in body and its pleasures and its enjoyment. So it has a great purpose, pain. That is one thing, first purpose. First opportunity or one opportunity. Secondly, you find that all the pain and disappointments in life is actually the result of our own past thoughts and actions. In whatever past life it may be, disharmonious living produces disease. Disharmonious thinking produces circumstances which are painful for us. And it is by going through the effects of the causes that we set up that we wash it away from our system. If disease is causing the sorrow, then the disease which goes, which we experience through our body, is actually so much of demerit which is working itself out. Which is why we were that day recollecting from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that Vyadihi Paramam Tapas. Vyadi or disease is a great tapas because it is working itself out of our system. So in all this, the guide for us, the guidance for us is in the philosophy of the ancients. We go back to the philosophy of ancients, we find a great great compass which shows us how to evaluate the events of life, what value you place for all the events of life, how do we respond to it, what is it that brings us more pain, and what is it that leads us towards that which reduces pain? What binds the soul and what liberates the soul? So we need to take up the study of the ancient philosophy of life. It's of most necessary. So we'll stop here and take up general discussions or any questions, any comments that we may have.